Hello, and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Details at mulliganstew.ca. There, you can find Mulligan Stew Radio, the podcast, and this show, Tasting Room Radio. Some 15 years ago, we started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench, because there wasn't a radio show that celebrated wine in the Okanagan. Just down the valley slightly was Pentage, and then beyond Pentage was Skaha Lake and Okanagan Falls. And when 2022 rolled around, it was decided and deemed safe to gather and taste wines, the first region of British Columbia to pour in Vancouver was Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake Winery Association, the heart of wine country. Our home for this pour is Terminal City Club, West Hastings in Vancouver. Last week, we talked to Rob Hammersley from Black Market Wine, Caledon, Blasted Church, Evan Saunders, the winemaker, Bonamici Cellars, Mario Rodi, who's also the president of the association, from Crescent Hills Winery, Tisha Pope, from Mayhem Wines, from the land of three named people, Terry Meyer Stone, and from the Meyer Family Vineyards, Janice Stevens and Jack Meyer. And we finished with the youngest and newest wine member of the Bibby family at Nighthawk Vineyards, Daniel Bibby. So this is part two. Noble Ridge kicks us off with Benoit Gauthier, the wonderful winemaker at Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls. Pentage, Ian Jameson from Art Wine, came by to tell us what we could expect from Pentage Winery this year. Play Estate Winery joined us. Gianluca Micheli and Paul Watkin poured and told us stories of Play Estate Winery. Stags Hollow sent Aaron Corpisto, and Wild Goose Vineyard and Winery finish off the show, the wonderful Leslie Matheson providing the details and the storytelling. So here it is, part two of Tasting Room Radio meets the heart of wine country, Okanagan Falls and Skaha Lake Winery Association. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm practicing my names as I go here, friends. Tasting Room Radio. Play Estate Winery has joined us here at the table. Gianluca Micheli is on your left, and on your right is the Wine Monkey, Paul Watkin from Sea Cove Group. Are the Wine Monkeys still existing?
They don't exist anymore. The Wine Monkeys are now Keith Nicholson is teaching WSET classes. And Eric Bluen has started a winery in Quebec.
So the Wine Monkeys are no more. I remember they're in their heyday. I remember the day they got arrested. So Play Estate Winery in Skaha Hills. Define Skaha Hills.
It's in Penticton, the winemaking region, right next to the airport.
But the airport's flat.
It is flat, but the hill right next to it is not.
Oh, so. I see.
Yeah, right next to Skaha Lakes, beautiful area, great for growing some grapes.
Was anybody growing there at one point?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't think so.
There wasn't much there. Skaha Hills, but officially what 2018 became its
own.
Yeah,
I don't think there was.
Sub-GI. There wasn't many. There was plantings there.
There were growers up there.
Yeah, there's growers up there, but there wasn't many wineries up there. So it's sort of over the last, I'd say, decade that it's really started to come into its own identity.
Who wants to give me the shortened version of the history of Play?
Play was started in 2013. The Peckett family, who owned Stage West Hospitality, so live theaters across Canada, hence the name Play for the winery. And they've gone through some different incarnations. And in 2019, the most modern, the latest incarnation is new winemaker Stephanie Briers came over, who is making wine at Cullman Estate. And labels changed, new investor, Giulio Micheli, Gianluca's father. Mm-hmm. So a beautiful Italian restaurant up there. And just a complete new direction, switched everything to 100% single varietal. Making a small batch, playing around with wild fermentation. And it's been a lot of fun to see the evolution over the, almost 10 years now.
Soneto is the name of the restaurant. So the restaurant at play. So my father, he started La Terrazza in 98. And he's bringing that passion, that sort of flavor of Vancouver, that Italian fine dining experience to Penticton and to Skaha Hills. And so far, we just recently opened the restaurant December 3rd. And it's been quite successful so far, so we're really excited.
I would think so, man.
Yeah.
because in the five, six years I was up there, the wineries were well ahead of any food programs.
Yes.
They were seriously in arrears, and you knew it was coming. I just didn't know how long it was going to take.
Yeah, exactly. So we're definitely trying to capitalize on that glaring hole in Penticton and the Okanagan, and I think we're doing a great job so far.
Tasting Room Radio. Play Estate Winery has joined us here at the table. Gianluca Micheli and Paul Watkin from Sea Cove Group. What are you pouring over there?
So today we're pouring a Moscato Frizzante, an off-dry Moscato. We're pouring a Sauvignon Blanc from a single vineyard, the estate vineyard, Cabernet Sauvignon from the estate vineyard as well, and then a Merlot.
And what did you bring to pour?
We brought the Cabernet Sauvignon.
You can't grow cab in the Okanagan.
Says who?
Says the wine judges of, I won't say the organization, some 12 years ago. Why are we being asked to judge cab in the Okanagan? We can't grow it here.
I think the Cabernet works in small pockets, and on the Skaha Bluffs, with the exposure to the sun on the hillside, it works well. I think the key is you can't make Napa-style cab BC.
Exactly.
You can still make Cabernet Sauvignon that's not... It's not a big, rich...
But you don't have to apologize for it either.
No, not at all. It's not a big monster Cabernet. I would call it a medium-bodied wine. It's nice and spicy. I think Cabernet works as long as you don't try and overdo it or try and force the style.
Tasting Room Radio. Play Estate Winery has joined us here at the table. Gianluca Micheli, Paul Watkin from Sea Cove Group. Let's pour that, if we can. And tell me about, first of all, Giancarlo, what's your father pairing with this wine in the restaurant, do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. We do a lovely pasta al pomodoro, capelli d'angeli spaghetti, a nice bit of concasse tomato, garlic, olive oil. It's beautiful.
And involved dinner.
That's correct, yeah. So, yeah, we're doing a lot of wine pairing options as well at the restaurant. We're actually doing hosting some events as well.
Can I mention one? I saw this. You're celebrating 100 years of Barolo.
That's correct. Yeah, so we're doing a wine and dinner pairing with Sordo Wines, beautiful, lovely Barolos that they do, in conjunction with our wines as well. We're doing a whole full dinner pairing, and it's going to be a beautiful celebration.
Saturday, May the 7th.
That's correct, yeah.
100 years of Barolo. Yeah. The 2020 Sauv Blanc. You want to make a white wine. You don't make an Italian white wine, but the Sauv Blanc, that's what the terroir gives you?
So the Sauv Blanc, that we do, is a little bit more of a French style. It's not that New Zealand acidic, grassy style. You get more fruit forward, a little bit more of that lime cordial, a little bit of that minerality on the finish.
About 30% of it is aged in French oak, which gives it just sort of a different layer and texture.
Yeah.
New French or neutral?
Combination. For the Sauv Blanc, it's more neutral.
You can make it up if you want, Paul.
And I usually do. but for the reds, there'll be some new, but for the whites, it's more of an aged French oak.
Yeah.
Who wants to tell me about the 2020 Teatro?
Well, yeah, the 2020 Teatro is our Moscato Frizzante. It's very nice. Three different types of muscat grape, Autunel, white, and orange muscat. It's very nice and well-balanced, nice and light, a little bit more of an off-dry style, so it's not that typical sweet muscat.
It's not one of your favorites, is it?
No, it's actually...
Do you love it?
I love it, actually.
I was watching the body language.
No, it actually is one of my favorites. I actually do enjoy it a lot. It's very good.
Never mind. I'm just...
Very crushable, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Very crushable, as the kids say.
2019 Merlot. Can you make enough? This is good.
Yeah, the Merlot, they made about 240, 250 cases, so not much. It's tough to make a lot of Merlot, I think, from the vineyards they're working with, because there's the estate vineyard and only three other vineyards they work with. So there's only a certain amount you can make with before you start sacrificing what it is.
Exactly. Our state's only just under 15 acres, so it's not that expansive. We don't have the infrastructure to create such big volumes, so more
it's
of a
nice,
smaller...
It's a nice balance where you can make enough and it's still... The quality is what you want it to be. If you just make a Merlot from vineyards from anywhere, it just falls into the rest of the pack. Mm.
What's under the table today?
Maybe us by the end of it, but nothing under the table. But if we had something under the table, I would probably put the Cabernet Franc.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would you leave it at home?
Because we drank it all.
Simple answer. And it's not really, there's not much, they definitely don't make enough of the Cabernet Franc.
Yes, yeah. It's a very sought after wine that we do. Definitely.
They sell too much at the winery for us
yes,
to get down.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know enough about Play, and I need to know more about Play. What's your website?
Playwinery.com.
Playwinery.com, yeah. Playwinery.com.
Playwinery.
Yes.
One of those tough ones.
Yeah.
And you're open for biz. Restaurant's open. You're ready to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Restaurant's Tasting room's open. Restaurant's open. Come on by. Don't need an appointment. Great tasting bar. This summer, I'm working on, you can take away sort of a little picnic lunch to go, and bottle of wine if you want. You can come in for the full dining experience in the restaurant, or just come to the tasting bar, hang out on the patio.
Could I find the Cab Franc from Play, say, in Old Nanaimo?
You can find it at my house in Nanaimo.
I know that.
So it might have to make its way down to Mill Bay.
You and the wine.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you both for doing this. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Play Estate Winery has joined us here at the table. Gianluca Micheli, Paul Watkin from Seacove Group, Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the wine shop tasting room and bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Watch for the Heist Rosé, and watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne Marsanne. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, those bubbles are the fizzy one from Noble Ridge. We'll tell you about them in just a second, because the guy who made those bubbles, or created them, or set them in motion, is with me. Ben Magotier, the winemaker at Noble Ridge Vineyards and Winery. You got cleaned up real well.
I know. I'm coming to the big city, so, you know, I need to get out of the vineyard once in a while.
We always see you. You're out. You got vests on. You got toque going. Did you know where your shoes were?
It took me a while to find them. They were deep down in the closet, but, you know.
None of us needed dress shoes, right, over the last 2 years?
Not really, no. I think we've been more slippery in the slippers a little bit, and, staying.
I've asked Leslie D'Andrea a bit about how everybody got through those last couple of years. How about you?
Actually, spending more time with the family, which was great, you know, kind of taking time to do the little things and enjoying more the little things in life. So it's been good. It's been good, but I think everybody's ready to get out of.
It was actually a safe place to be in a vineyard.
Yeah, very safe, actually. Yeah, we didn't get affected whatsoever with COVID, really, because distancing is pretty easy to do. So, you know, we went through like every day, pretty much.
So when you were planning this this pour in Vancouver, how many choices did you have in terms of what you wanted to pour? Because you've had a couple of years to create these wines. Were there lots of choices, or were these specific the wines that were coming out now?
I would say pretty specific for the venue tonight, for the trades and consumers, is we brought our wines that are, you know, more the mainstream wines, I would say, the ones that are available in Vancouver and across BC. So we had some pretty stunning vintages, the last couple of vintages. So what I brought to the table right here and out there, I'm pretty proud of everything.
What are the varietals that you've used to make this fizzy one?
Phase 1 is made with 62% Kerner and 38% Pinot Gris, with a little bit of skin contact during the pre-fermentation on the Pinot Gris to give it a little bit of color and texture, but lots of flavor.
So the Fizzy one, that's a pre-release, yes?
This is a pre-release, yeah. This is I brought it for you right now just as a treat because...
Because it's, the general public is getting it tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be the under-the-table wine because this wine is only available at the wine shop for our wine club members. So I brought it a little bit as a tease and as a treat.
How much did you make? How many cases?
This one only 430.
And you know the price point?
Price point at the wine shop, it's $25.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. It's called the Fizzy One. No, non-vintage. And if you're coming to the tasting this evening... it'll be under the table somewhere. All right, the 2019 Noble Meritage. Everybody's making a fuss. How did it turn out?
Spectacular. I think it's our biggest seller. So it flies through the shelf. It flies really well in the restaurants. Nice vintage. I like the freshness of the vintage. The Merlot is very nice, juicy. The blend, a little bit of the cab in there, just brings a little bit of structure, but it's easy drinking wine and a very crowd pleaser.
What's in that Meritage?
It's 84% Merlot and 16% Cab Sauv.
And that changes from year to year?
Yeah, well, the only limitation that I have is, on the Merlot, I cannot have more than 85% to BBQA. But I don't really make my blends according to the percentage, so it's really by blending the wine top tier down, and then the percentage just happens to be what they are from year to year because every year is different.
The 2020 Reserve Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, this one is one of my favorites. Our Grigio is really rich, really textural. Only stainless steel fermentation, so no oak on it, but it feels, you know, white in the mouthfeel. So it's
no oak.
No oak, absolutely no oak on the wine. But as you drink it, you would feel the nice textural components on it, and that's from our vines that are now 20 years old. And you know, with their roots deep down, you can taste the minerality, the texture.
That's a unique Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, it's it's very. Really made in the Grigio style, Italian style, and from BC, actually, the comments we get from everybody is that we're pretty stand out apart from most of the Grigio, most of the Pinot Gris in the valley.
Tell me about the difference between the 2019 Noble Meritage and the 2018 Reserve Meritage.
The Reserve Meritage is a second tier wine. So with the Reserve Meritage, when I do my blending, I'll always blend top down. So we have three tiers of wine: the King's Ransom, the Reserve, and then the Noble Meritage. And then 2018 Reserve Meritage, you can expect a little bit more new oak on it, a little bit more tannin structure, more riper fractions of wine, so you can really taste the concentration of the berries in the wine.
It's the winemaker Benoit Gauthier from Noble Ridge on Tasting Room Radio. The 2020 Stony Knoll Chardonnay.
Yeah, Stony Knoll Chardonnay is also one of my favorite this year. The fruit is grown just beside the winery where my office is. Old vines, also 25 years old vines, very classic kind of Chablis style wines, mainly stainless steel fermented, but I use a little fraction of the wine to age after fermentation in a barrel. So one single barrel, a 1 year old barrel, just to give a little bit of oak so that when I blend it back in a batch of wine, it gives a little bit of creaminess to the finish, but it showcases the fruit really, really nicely.
Any surprises? Anything you want to tease us with that will come out spring, summer, or fall?
Always. So we got, if you come to visit us at the wine shop, definitely there's a few nice teasers coming up. So the Fizzy one is one. We've been sold out for a while, and people are screaming for it. And now I can tell, come to the wine shop, and it's going to be available very soon. And then later on in the summer, we have two other special wines that we have not put out yet, not produced yet. So I cannot talk too much about it. But if you come towards the midsummer in August to make some special wines for people that are visiting us, so come see us. Yeah,
That's called a tease, friends. That's called a huge tease. Do you know the website?
NobleRidge.com.
Benoit Gauthier, the winemaker at Noble Ridge. Go and find them. Say hello to Leslie and her husband.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
You cannot have a celebration of all things Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake without Stags Hollow. You just can't. And Stags Hollow is in the room. As a matter of fact, Aaron, as soon as I started to talk, automatically got the bottle in the shot, except there's no shot. Aaron Copisto is the general manager as of 2019 at Stags Hollow. Tell me about, Aaron, your view of Stags Hollow and its reputation, well-earned, before you got there.
I think Stags Hollow has built a really good reputation since 1995 opening. It was always known for solid wines at a good
consistency.
Price. Absolutely. Absolutely. The quality consistency has just been there throughout the entire period.
People might not understand how difficult that is, because each and every year, Mother Nature plays with you. You still have to come through with wines at the end of that growing season and the cellaring and whatever. All the ways you can screw up a wine, that you can show up the next spring or fall or summer or winter with a great wine speaks volumes.
Absolutely. And obviously, Mother Nature is the one in charge, and there is going to be vintage variation. Some years it impacts the volume, so maybe in order to get the quality, it means producing less. But those are the decisions that are made to keep that consistency.
What did you walk? Oh, by the way, did I see that your winemaker is Kira LaFranc?
Yes, Kira has been, well, she's been with the winery since 2012, but has been the winemaker since 2018.
Is my friend Julie Planeton still there?
Yes, we love Julie. She joined us last year.
I'll get caught up there. This is BC Wine Month, and why not Stags Hollow? By the way, March the 24th, I see that you guys got... You were awarded a sustainable certificate.
Yes, we've been working hard for the past year with Sustainable Wine Growing BC, and we finally achieved our certification both for the winery as well as our two estate vineyards.
What does it mean for you, and what does it mean for the wine fan?
For us, it's just been a continuation of what's been happening at the winery right from the start. Both of our buildings have been done as geothermal heating and cooling, including the tanks themselves. We've always been conscious of water usage and power usage. And now it's just gotten us to take that look and the accountability of it, keeping records of it.
There's also the sustainability in terms of the soil, the land usage.
Absolutely.
Taking care of the land that is literally handing you this fruit.
Absolutely, and that's the most important part. This sustainability certification, it's not just about the land, though. It's also about how our businesses run, how we treat our employees, how we work within the community as well. All very important things for us.
How'd you guys do with the epic heat?
It definitely challenged us a little bit, but in the end, it provided some really great fruit. It helped get the concentration of fruit, so we do have lower yields from 2021, but smaller grapes, so much more concentrated fruit.
I'm going to get to the Dolcetto that you're holding in your hand in just a second, but I want to ask you about the 2021 Tragically Vidal.
Oh, yes. That one, I think it's probably the best Tragically Vidal we've done to date. We've got a selection of fruit from the Parsons Vineyard on Skaha Bench, as well as our Shuttleworth Creek and Stags Hollow Vineyard. Beautiful aromatics on it. We've reduced the residual sugar just a bit, so it's sitting around 11 grams and balanced really well with the acid. So, super drinkable.
Is there a little orange muscat in there?
There's about 4%. Just gives a little more florality.
Oh, great nose. Great nose. Now, stone fruit, melon, pineapple, bergamot. What I liked about the notes I made on the Tragically Vidal is that you pick after the first frost.
We do. Vidal has very, very thick skin, so we wait until the frost has hit. Not a super heavy frost, but it just softens those skins. So it helps with some of the phenolics being extracted, gives a little bit more complexity, and easier to process.
Amazing, because most people run from frost. So the 2021 Syrah Rosé, there's been some not so great cases of Syrah being made into a rosé. How did this one work?
So the key for our Syrah Rosé is that we have a dedicated block in the Amalia Vineyard in Osoyoos, slightly younger vines, and we pick much earlier. So we want to preserve the acidity. And then it's just direct press into stainless steel. So we try to limit the skin contact, and we want that bright acidity to balance the fruit.
Do you guys talk about color?
Absolutely. So we do a range, because we actually have a very pale Syrah Rosé. We also do a Dolcetto Rosato that it has 5 days of skin contact. So that's a really deep and yet dry rosé.
That would just scare me crazy. Now the 2021 Dolcetto, cherry and plums, blueberries, tart, spice, dark chocolate, everything you want in a bottle of red wine.
Yes, and this one, with our Dolcetto, because we have two different blocks of Dolcetto, one block is own-rooted, one block is on rootstock. We find the own-rooted is much more of that Italian sort of funk, and then bright fruit from the rootstock. This vintage, it's showing a little bit more of that Italian funk, so it's a little more Italian edge, but still grown in BC.
Speaking of Italian funk, did Joe Barcinardo have anything to do with the planting of these vines?
No. This was all Larry Garrelis, winery founder.
I just like the segue. Okay, so did you bring a tank sample?
We did. We brought a tank sample of our 2020 Syrah that's going to be bottled next month. This is a beautiful, elegant, floral version of Syrah, a little bit of white pepper. It's just that lifted style.
So here's the thing. How do we get people to drop their preconceived notions of a wine like Dolcetto when they look at it and go, I don't know what that is.
The key, and this is for any wine, you just have to try it. Give everything a chance.
I'll see your key and I'll raise you one.
Okay.
I believe that because the name Stag's Hollow is on that label, mm-hmm. you should just trust Stag's Hollow that they're going to bring it to you.
Thank you for that. I would agree. It's nice to have that backed up with the, you know, this gives us the history of quality.
What's the website?
StagsHollowWinery.com.
You open for business?
Absolutely. As of this weekend, we're actually open Thursday through Monday, 11
to 5. Get home. Get home. Your work pants on.
Julie's there to hold down the fort.
Thank you very much for doing this. Stag's Hollow, Aaron Corpisto, is the general manager as of 2019. The winemaker is Kira LaFranc. And Julie Planinen is in the room. And they are just so good, so consistent. Go find them out. We talked about the Tragedy of Vidal, the Syrah Rosé, the Dolcetto Rosé. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Watch for the Heist Rosé, and watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne Marsanne. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. Just a reminder, the speakeasy is rocking again in April as Proper Man returns for Saturday performances. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. Tasting Room Radio at the 10th Annual Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Winery Association Pour in Vancouver. It's a great celebration simply because we couldn't do this for the last couple of years. It's really nice to be in the same room with all of these folks. Now, one of them is Ian Jameson from Art Wine. And it says on the card, Orofino Kettle Valley Pantage. Orofino's in the Similkameen and John's not here. Kettle Valley, they're working on Zim. But Pantage is here, and Ian is pouring and speaking on their behalf. Tell me about Art Wine.
It's a sales agency that was started by my former boss 25, 30 years ago. He was Kettle Valley's first sales agent. He was Pantage's first sales agent, and Orofino's as well. His wife is an artist. Art Wine, it's a really cheesy name. He retired just a few years ago back to Main Island to his brewery, and when my partner and I took over his business, we thought, as silly as the name might be, we can't change it. So we're just an old school handshake winery.
How about that? Pantage. I love Pantage. I love them. First of all, I don't really like them right now because Paul Gardner and Julie Rennie have not come for the pour. I like them as people, but they should be here just so we can ask some pointed questions about their wines. But you can do that on their behalf. Tell me about the 2020 Fizz Blanc, Aaron Feltzer.
So the Fizz is something that they've done for a few years. They make a rosé and a Fizz Blanc. It's something that's just meant to be light, it's meant to be fun, and it's meant to be delicious. With the two grapes, Aaron Feltzer and Gewurztraminer, it's aromatic, so it's really pretty and floral, almost like a Moscato d'Asti. It's got a little bit more carbonation, a little bit more alcohol. It's not big, but 12%. So it's nice.
I just realized I could ask you a price point.
Shelf price point or wholesale?
Shelf point.
On a shelf, it's going to be $24, $25.
Let's talk in shelf. How about the 2020 Rosé Field Blend? I love a field blend, but this one sounds interesting. Oh, wait a minute. No. There's 10 different rosé varietals in there.
Yeah, that's right, Terry. The biggest sole contributing grape is Zinfandel. It's something that they've played with over the years in their rosé. They always seem to come back to it, I think, because it's got a good backbone. It's got that really nice fruity, jammy profile. But it's a grape that plays really well with others.
You know, it speaks volumes of Paul Gardner that he would create a rosé out of 10 different varietals. Did he grow each and every one of them, or did he source?
All of the grapes are from their estate, which is you can overlook from their property. And I think that's a testament to Paul. He's a tinkerer. And everything is very calculated. And
he built a tasting room and then turned it into a crush pad.
That's right. And he keeps building all of these inventions that he sells to Anheuser-Busch. And he's a really busy man.
How did that rosé turn out, by the way? Are you pouring it today?
I'm pouring it here today, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to come down and tell you a golf ball. Everybody talks about rosé, but I like an involved rosé. I like one that doesn't hammer you over the head, that you could maybe drink half a bottle and just go quietly to bed. But how did it turn out?
Because there's a mix of white and red grapes in this rosé, it's got a little more color, like it's a little bit of a deeper, richer color, which is usually indicative of the flavor, but it's still got these really soft, really pretty, very BC rosé qualities to it.
Could you name the 10?
I don't think I could name all 10.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm going to get 9.
Ian Jameson from Art Wine. The 2016 GSM, tell me about that.
It's one of, I think, only 3 or 4 GSMs made in British Columbia. This is one of Julie, Paul's wife's wines, where she gets to call the shots, no matter how the blending trials go. It's on the softer side of GSM. Often those wines can be made really big and really overpowering. This one really manages to maintain a lot of those pretty floral, subtle nuances.
Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre.
That's right. Pretty much even 30, 30, 30.
Nothing off the top just for the nose?
Oh, violets, fresh violets.
Dark cherry, ripe plum, cherries, berries, reminds me of a trip to Rhone.
Yeah, Pentage, they're big fans of Rhone grape varietals. Their flagship white is a Rhone white. They love their Rhone grapes.
Now, what is the flagship red, by the way, he said, holding a bottle in his hand?
The flagship red is the name of their winery. It's Pentage. Penta for 5, the 5 Bordeaux grapes, a riff on Meritage. So this one is all of the 5 allowable Bordeaux grapes, the 5 main ones.
Please, Ian, tell me about the blend that goes into Pentage.
So it's Cabernet, Merlot, Cab Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. But some of the Merlot they mixed in a Passamento style Merlot, which is
dried grapes,
the Amarone style, which makes a really rich, raisiny, concentrated wine. And
is it always Merlot that goes in as the liquid?
In a
Rapasso, can it be any wine?
Amarone is made from Valpolicella, which is a really light grape. Pentage has made a Cabernet Franc, a Passamento in the past. And this 2015 vintage, they made some Merlot.
Oh, it must taste so good. So is it a baby Amarone?
Yeah, just a little baby.
What's the price point?
This is around $40, which for a BC Bordeaux blend is, I think, pretty exceptional.
Think about the work that went into it, for one thing.
Exactly. A lot of days on the drying rack, a lot of careful blending trials.
Have I missed anything else that you're pouring?
No, just those 4.
Okay. Nothing under the table?
This is what's under the table.
Is it really?
The Rapasso. That's the sneaky element of this year's tasting, is that little bit of Rapasso Merlot.
How are people liking it?
It's a hit.
Do you know the website?
Pentage.ca.
Ian Jameson, Art Wine Distribution, Pentage Winery, doing well by the people who didn't show up, Paul and Julie. I'll find them, I'll hunt them down, and give them 5 minutes of verbiage. This is a great wine, and you want to find it, you want to go searching for this. Pentage. Strangely enough, the blend is called Pentage Estate Bottle 2015. Oh, one final thing. those years in bottle, what happens to this blend? What are the changes?
It just softens it. Everything gets a chance to hold together and mingle and collaborate. And it's something that they do intentionally at the winery, is they hold their wine back for years until it's ready and soft and ready to go.
Do you want to tease us with anything they might be doing this year?
I thought you were trying to stump Paul and Julie. I'm blanking.
Is there anything coming? I mean, the portfolio is a mile long. Is there anything coming that we won't see coming? It'll be a surprise?
Sparkling ice wine.
Okay.
Yeah. They make two.
He's got to get out of the house more often. You know that. He's got to get out more often. Or blow something up. Thank you for doing this and walking us through the Pantage.
Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. Just a reminder, the Speakeasy is rocking again in April as Proper Man returns for Saturday performances. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. Leslie Matheson has joined us here at the table for Wild Goose Winery in the South Okanagan. I have multiple questions, but the first one is not about the wines. It's about the food. You used to have a kitchen down below the tasting room that was doing a barbecue and ribs, and it was driving me crazy. Is it still there?
Yes, the Smokin' Oak Bistro.
Smokin' Oak Bistro. My goodness, it was fantastic.
All the smoked meats. We've expanded to add salads and sort of bistro fare so that, you know, if you didn't want to have a big rack of ribs, like who doesn't, but some people didn't, so we have a salad for them. But we open just seasonally, May 5th this year we open.
You guys still do like barbecue schnitzel and things?
Not schnitzel.
No.
We don't do schnitzel, but he's got ribs, he's got brisket, he's got mac and cheese. He's got this fantastic, I'm getting hungry. He's got this fantastic cornbread, a signature cornbread that's so good. Oh.
What would you pour with his ribs, say?
Our Red Horizon Meritage, 100%.
What would you pour with the Autumn Gold that you brought?
This is what we call our turkey wine. So it goes good with fowl, with poultry, the lighter side of meat, some porks. This is also Autumn Gold. This is the kind of wine you don't need to have food. You can just drink it.
You can have it. You can pair it with friends.
Yes, exactly.
Tell me about the blend.
Sunshine. I'm sorry?
Can you reveal the secret blend?
Oh, the secret blend. Well, I'll tell you a bit about it. It's Riesling, Gewurz, Pinot Blanc. In the last 2 years, the crops have been so short that we didn't have enough Pinot Blanc. So our winemaker said, well, Chardonnay is close to Pinot Blanc, so they put in some Chardonnay. So there's mostly Riesling, Gewurz, Pinot Blanc, but a little bit of Chard.
Oh, it's so good. It's like a hug.
It really is. We were just saying that earlier. It's like a big hug. It's a lovely glass of wine. It's relaxing. It's not stressful. You can just sit and have a glass of this wine. Maybe with a little bit of cheese, it would just be heaven. Heaven, especially in the summertime. Nice and cold.
How many cases do you make?
I don't know how many. Can't off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I can say that last 2 years we've been a lot short. We usually sell out by Christmas. Usually we can make the full year, but the last 2 years, because of short crops, we would sell out by Christmas, and people aren't happy when we're gone.
Leslie Matheson, marketing manager from Wild Goose, is pouring today the 21 Sauv Blanc, 21 Pinot Gris, 21 Autumn Gold, which we have at the table. Beautiful. And the 19 Pinot Noir. the Sauv Blanc you've always done. Pinot Gris you've always done as well, right?
Yes, the Pinot Gris we've had for a long time. It's one of our two large produced wines, the Autumn Gold and the Pinot Gris. The thing about the Pinot Gris that's interesting is it's all grown from other estates, so no estate grapes in our Pinot Gris. But we've had long-term contracts with partners that make our Pinot Gris, and so it's pretty much we get the consistency every year.
You are talking Wild Goose. They have lots of friends in the valley. Now, tell me about the 19 Pinot Noir and what those extra couple of years in bottle do for that.
Oh, yes. That Pinot Noir is actually from one vineyard called Sumac Slope. It's a vineyard that Roland and Hagen purchased. I think they purchased it in... my guess would be around 2017, and it had been owned by an amateur winemaker, and he planted everything he could think of. Every kind of varietal you could think of was planted there. So when he sold to Roland and Hagen, they took out a lot of that, and they left the Pinot Noir that was there, and they added more Pinot Noir and planted Syrah. So this Pinot Noir is just that old Pinot. So it's like a 15-year-old vine that's gone into that bottle. But we are expanding the new plantings of Pinot are going to make us be able to have more of this wine in the future. So I think it'll be two more years before it's ready.
How are the boys?
They're great. Hagen is retired, and I think he's in a boat fishing somewhere. He checks in once in a while. And Roland's bought a new house. He's renovating, and he's looking after all the growers for us. He's looking after all the contracts.
What happens? Will the family carry on? Are their sons and daughters coming?
Yes. So Nick is still the winemaker at Wild Goose. And Nick... he had been making wine since he was a youngster with Hagen in the basement. And when Hagen was getting close to retiring, I think pretty much Nick did it all anyways, even though he didn't have the title. So Nick has pretty much been our winemaker for years and years and years.
Tasting room open?
I'm sorry?
Tasting room open?
Yes, it's open now, and we're taking reservations, opening daily this weekend, Easter weekend. And we're excited to have it back to real life and people coming in and...
Well, after the last 2 years, you know, everybody's expecting a whole fresh start, like today.
Yes, it's so exciting to have everybody here and see people and talk to them in real life and trying wines. Everybody's so happy.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing your wines. Leslie Matheson, Marketing Manager, Wild Goose. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry David. Nice to see you again.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival Passport Style Tasting Event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com.